What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors. And today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to. And you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Aquaman, Aquaman, Aquaman. We're taking a deep dive on all things Arthur Curry. Good and bad, spoiler-free and spoiler-full today on DC Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, created from the cosmic legends of the universe.
Here we go.
I really can't, just so you know.
Okay.
It's by him.
Can you trim up a little bit?
Mike needs a little more audio, so do I. I have none.
We got a little bit. We got turned. It went down for something.
I got no snare in my headphone, just like Eminem.
What?
Eminem. There's no snare in his headphone. I'm hearing nothing.
Still not hearing nothing?
I hear nothing. I ain't worried about nothing.
We got nothing? Are we not even hearing each other?
No, but it's fine. There we go. I've got some audio. I got some juice in this.
I don't have anything yet. Nope. We keep talking.
I love that this is our biggest show of 2018. We're getting into our Aquaman review.
Just turning up.
No, you just keep doing me. You just keep making me louder.
Well, let's
now.
Just go on. We'll be fine.
You will be fine. We're all in the same exact
now,
room.
Are you too loud?
I would just get back up at him and start the show.
Oh, boy.
Here
we are. Okay.
Always some difficulty.
Hey, guys. Welcome to DC Movie News today. This is our Aquaman-rific episode. We've all seen the film. You've seen the film. You probably don't want to watch this until you've seen the film, even though we'll start off spoiler-free if you want to get
we
a little teaser.
You definitely should watch this if you haven't seen the film.
Okay, watch it if you haven't seen the film, and then watch it in parts, I guess. And then in that scenario, you would stop it at a certain point and come back.
Exactly. Yes.
So, first of all, welcome fans of all things DC. It's a big day. We got a big opening in the States. Aquaman's already been open other places in the country.
It feels
country.
Like it's been open for a month now, but hey.
It does feel like everybody's seen it but us. But what I've been doing to bide my time is, of course, watching Titans on DC Universe.
I have finally...
Which I know you've
not
been...
Not finally. I just want to say it took me a little while to get which way I was going to do it, but I finally had some time at work. There were like 6 episodes airing, so I caught up on all those, and then I was then... it got me invested so fast. I fell in love with the show.
But now
it's the typical of like, wow, I got to wait till next week for the episode. This
right.
sucks.
Today is the second to last episode. Am I right?
I want it now.
Yeah, it's a 12 episode.
And then a lot of people have seen that there's a second to last episode, I think, is today. And then next week is the finale, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Are we sure on that?
I believe so. Yeah. Chat roll if you're with us. If anybody's with us, confirm that. I don't think so. I feel like they did a weird thing where they released
12 episodes.
Well, I think they put out the thing because Batman was in it. I think they teased that out extra far. But guys, this is the first original series to launch on DC Universe. Titans follows a young group of superheroes, including Robin, Starfire, Raven, Beast Boy, and others. There are some great others to that list, by the way. I don't want to spoil anything. Did you confirm what episode we're on right now?
No.
Okay, so pretty much it's coming to the conclusion.
Well, we know that this was episode 11 today that dropped, so we'll see.
Okay.
It will be a nice surprise for us.
Oh, man. Off the rails so early in the beginning. So if you haven't watched any of the episodes, join now, get your membership, You can get more info at DCUniverse.com. We'll tell you more about Titans as the show continues, because we always do. But we want to jump in and talk about Aquaman.
Yeah,
dive into
we
the
do.
Deep end.
We want to dive into the deep end.
Every time somebody says that, I think about on the deep end, watch as I dive in.
I'm rocking to heaven.
Oh, Gaga?
I don't know the words, but.
Yeah, yeah, Gaga.
Yeah, from the Star is
Born.
Do you think that's going to win Best Picture?
I don't know.
I think that is a
Maybe it's going to be Aquaman.
I think Star is Born is my pick right now. What do you guys think? Best Picture. I'm calling Star is Born right now.
I think it could be.
I think it could be up there. Absolutely.
I mean, I know it's going to be up there, but I think it's going to take it.
Green Book might take it. That one's getting a lot.
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about Galga, except for the deep end. So we're going to start off with some spoiler-free stuff.
Yeah.
Roxy, you got some cool things to bring
up. So here's the game plan. We're going to give you guys a little stat exercise. It's not really much of an exercise. It is
just you don't have to participate at home.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything. And who likes to exercise anyway, especially during the holiday time? Am I right, people?
Are you right?
But we're going to talk a little bit about how it's doing. Then, like Adam said, we're going to get into a spoiler-free. So if you have not seen it, no worries. We're just giving our general thoughts. And then, of course, we are going to get into spoilers and a little bit of TV time.
I will say that I have been really hitting extra yoga classes during the holiday season to try to balance.
Are you feeling stretchy?
I'm feeling more limber than I have in quite some time, actually.
Feeling a little elasty girly?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you describe
it. Yeah, I can put my leg behind my head.
So let's talk about how Aquaman is currently doing. Obviously, it's a little soon to say how it will be doing, but there are projections. It made $9 million on Thursday in the United States, which was last night, which made a total of 13.7 for previews, because you guys know it did that early preview day. So 13.7, which is a big, big number to give you guys a little bit of a comparison.
He's not the high five.
No, question. I have a question.
I was going to go for high five. I was like,
this is a legitimately question. Teach. Forgive me if you're already going to say this, but do we know how that compares to other DC Thursday nights?
What I can tell you is not how it compares to DC Thursday night, but how it compares to other comic book movies Thursday night.
Okay.
So I was about to say Amazing Spider-Man 2, which made 8.7 on Thursday, ended up making 91.6. So it's pretty similar with the 8.7 to the 9 million, making 91.6 opening weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then Doctor Strange, which made 9.4, which is pretty similar to the 9 on Thursday, ended up making 85 million. So anywhere in between that 85 to 92 range would be what this would be projected at if you were following those standards. However, people are projecting that Aquaman is going to actually make 120 million for
over the
opening,
5 days.
Over the 5 day.
So with those other numbers that you were comparing, 91, those were
three day weekend. Exactly.
Okay,
I got it.
You got it? Oh, my. Thank God. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, guys.
Good, good. I'm glad you're back with us.
That's what we've got there. Now,
so, but obviously, there's a lot of competition this weekend, too. Those movies had a little bit more of a free and clear weekend.
Huge competition. Let's talk about a little bit of that competition.
Thanks, Rox.
Mary Poppins dropped 17% when Aquaman opened. So that's not that surprising, considering it opened on the Wednesday and people had already gone out to see it. But it is a pretty decent-sized drop. Bumblebee opened their Thursday night with $3
million. Okay.
So that's a third of what Aquaman Thursday night was, which is interesting.
Now, and also, I would say Bumblebee skews a little bit younger, so you have maybe a little bit of a different population that's able to go to that Thursday night screening.
And I also think we've talked
about you're in school, if you're in high school, you're not hitting that Thursday night screening.
Bumblebee is a little more going to be a little more word of mouth because people are burned by this franchise.
Yeah.
Not that people haven't felt burned by DC.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people are now, I ask people because I don't feel the hype for Bumblebee. And my friends have seen it, they really enjoy it, but they're saying, like, we've had five films that have just been, you know, what they were. But also, you know, a lot of people with DC.
I would say they're pretty bad.
I like the first one.
A lot of people with DC feel they've been burned as well. But still, what's the difference that now Aquaman is apparently doing gangbusters and Bumblebee is still kind of. You know, it's interesting. I don't have an answer for it because they seem both two franchises have had a sword.
I understand, but maybe Transformers is a little bit more singular, and the fact that it's a different character, and even though it's DC, less people are aware of the connectivity of DC, I think, and more just.
Yeah. Oh, true. Let's talk about the craziest stat, though. The thing that I think is the most wild so far is that Aquaman has already made its budget back. Because overseas in China, it's made $189 million thus far, totaling it to $266 million worldwide. wide at this point.
I thought it was over 300 at this point.
No, 266, I believe.
And this is as of, today, Thursday. You've got Thursday fresh.
As of Thursday morning.
Fresh stats.
You know,
Thursday the 21st.
So, and we're saying, and what was the talk is that by the 5-day Christmas week,
right,
you're saying including a U.S. domestic.
Because nobody's working Monday, Tuesday.
Right. They're going to hit like 5 million. Yeah. They think five. Solid five by Christmas Day.
500.
Because a lot of the thing this weekend.
500.
500 yeah. mil, yeah.
They're no, saying, just 5 mil.
Just five. They're saying that, you know, the early part of the weekend, it's everyone getting shopping, trying to get done. Mm-hmm. But once Christmas Eve, Christmas Day hits, that's when people go. Because I know my family, we used to see movies on Christmas Day.
It would it be fair to say that even before anything happens with our weekend, It's a hit.
It's a success.
Aquaman is already a success, yes, basically.
So far.
Pretty much
so
can fail.
Have you guys thought about this? The movie released in China, that was an incredibly smart marketing ploy because all the hype hit before with that.
I know.
As opposed to when you release movies in States, the critics see it, they might not be their cup of tea, so that word of mouth starts going bad, and then by the time it comes out, people are like, well, and now, but we hear the word of mouth, because who looks up a China movie review site? No one does.
So the box office is all you hear about.
Yeah, you hear the box office, you don't hear the review.
That's brilliant.
I want to pause because, Adam, I think you are right. Sam Loves Movies in the chat says, no, it's already over 340 million. G Money says it's at 330 million.
Yeah.
Casey says it's 300.
Because I heard 300
now.
The other day.
So it must have been as of last night was before. So interesting.
So this is important because I will say, before we get into what's positive or negative about the film, one thing I did think about the whole time was how well this played is internationally more than any other film. There's a lot of broad strokes kind of storytelling, and it is, again, and I can't say this enough, it is the most visual comic book movie maybe I've ever seen. Yeah. Like, I'll just say that right out the gate. Visual meaning spectacle. A spectacle, because it's more of a feast for the eyes, is going to play internationally better.
It absolutely. Anytime there's something that we haven't seen before, think about Avatar.
When
you haven't seen a technology, when you haven't seen a world, people are curious beyond comic book fans, beyond fans of this genre. What have I never seen before? Anybody in the world wants to see something they've never seen, and Aquaman is something we've never seen. Like it, dislike it, love it, hate it, whatever. You've never seen it.
Good points. That was an excellent point.
And I think Avatar is a really clever comparison.
Very much so.
I think so, because in the way that story-wise, we're not seeing anything we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's not giving anything away.
We're
not reinventing
the wheel.
We're not as from a story point of view, which Avatar, when people criticize Avatar, it's Fern Gully, it's this, that, right. Same thing with Aquaman, except that the visuals in this film, I say, make it more than worth the price of going to see this,
absolutely,
like in a theater. It is a visual spectacle.
I don't know if you're watching this because the new trend of tons of millennials, Gen Z, is watching a movie on your phone.
Yeah.
Wherever you're going, wherever you're walking, they're watching on their phone. And while I'm very happy to watch Sex and the City on my phone, watching something like Aquaman on your phone, it almost defeats the purpose. So that's why I feel like, get your butt to the theater. Anybody who's asking me, because I do have some mixed opinions on this movie, even though I did definitely like it. Anybody who's asking me, is it worth going to the theater? It's almost not worth seeing it if you're not going to the theater.
I kind of
agree. Yeah.
And I would say the same thing. It was like seeing Avatar not 3D in a theater. I would be like, what's the point?
What's the point?
And everyone said, listen, you've got to see the biggest screen possible, the biggest IMAX, the 4K, 4X, DX, whatever the sound is. Like, I saw it in a regular standard theater last night. I was like, I've got to see it again in IMAX.
Yeah. The 4DX I normally think is bull, like with the sounds and stuff, but Aquaman, I would actually
I've seen a couple movies in that. I saw like Mile 22 in one of those sounds, like, oh, there's the gunshots coming everywhere around me.
But when they knock you around and stuff and they punch you in the back.
I didn't do that, no.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the 4DX.
I saw
John Wick and they're punching me. I'm like, this doesn't make the film more immersive.
Okay. I don't like getting punched during my movies.
But I feel like Aquaman, if they have the thing doing this kind of thing.
In general, because I honestly, before the show, we didn't really talk about how
we
were feeling about
it. We've not said a word when we walked in the studio to each other about it.
So
I read Roxy's tweets a few weeks ago.
That's true.
Yes.
But I want to know, you can't get that much from a tweet. I want to know, how did you guys feel about the movie?
Adam Gertler.
Okay. For me, overall, unfortunately, it's a mixed bag. I certainly wanted to really love this movie more than I did, because the best thing about it is definitely the visuals. The best thing is not Jason Momoa. The best thing is not the story. The best thing is not a villain. The best thing are these incredible the way they did the underwater, the talk in the underwater, the how it looked. That world was great. There was a lot of cliches that I was not down with. A lot of the humor landed flat, and there was a lot of posing, both physical posing and almost like we're doing a beat that we've seen before, but this doesn't seem grounded in its own world, so to speak.
Wow, wild. I would have thought that you, I predicted that you would have liked this movie best of the four of us.
Well, I didn't dislike it, but there was a lot of part, the movie kept taking me out of itself because there was stuff that I just couldn't get on board with so much from like story-wise and script-wise.
Interesting.
That I was like, ah, like, and it was, and it did feel long. It did feel long.
At 2:25.
And I love a long movie. Mm. I love a long movie, and I loved. I love the beginning and the end. Like a lot of people said, like there was a lot of stuff in the middle that I felt could have been trimmed or what. And there was like, yeah, there was like so much posturing and posing and a lot of these winking to the cameras. I got the sense that acting is hard, and I don't think our leads are great actors in
okay.
this movie.
Mike, how'd you feel?
I hated it.
No, you did.
No, I didn't. okay, I'm going to say, before I saw it, people said, what do you think you're going to grade it? I say, I'm going to give it a solid B. And I'll give you my grade at the end. I had so much fun in this movie. I felt it was the most comic book movie we've ever seen. Not even just DC. I just felt this was Throne of Atlantis. This was the new 52 Aquaman brought to life. Mm-hmm. I felt Mera, I love her.
I think she's a
Everyone
star.
Was talking about...
Did you remember my tweet? That's what, yeah, all I said
the weak
was
link,
Amber Heard is a star.
Her hair is ridiculous.
Her hair was ridiculous.
Never once pulled me out of it. I thought she was so good in this movie.
Me too.
Orm, I fell in love with Orm. Patrick Wilson,
amazing.
For me, made that movie. He chewed the right amount of scenery, but I can't go because we're going to spoilers. The end of it, I thought... We're in the middle of the Lundgren Renaissance or whatever that they call it.
Oh my God. He's great. Dolph Lundgren is actually his best acting ever.
I love the fact that they went for it. They didn't leave anything behind. They didn't go, you know what? Let's tease the waters. And if people are on board, we're going to give them more. We had him giving a conversation with the crustacean fish.
Yeah.
Like,
no, they swung for the fence for sure.
And for me, when you do that, I don't want to go like, oh, I really wanted to see this. Like 2.5 hours, people are like, we didn't need Black Manta's origin. I was like, yeah, I wanted that. We didn't, you know, we could... Yeah.
Make sure, spoiler free, I know
right.
that's fine, that's reminding
just,
us
yeah.
all.
I love what they did. I love, the humor does not work for me. But again, knowing me in the panel with DC, I don't need humor in any of my DC films. I don't, it's jokes like the peeing on the thing.
That you saw in the trailer.
We saw in the trailer, we should have cut that. Like, that was we don't need it.
I like that.
I would have loved to have seen them not showing the reveal of the full suit till the movie, but it's mm-hmm. the marketing. You
yeah,
had to
you
do
to.
It. I just had fun. And when people said it's yeah. Flash Gordon underwater, and I love Flash Gordon. So to me, that was Flash
Gordon. Yeah.
Like, Mera, her suit was made of a jellyfish. I'm like, that is just brilliant to me.
Yeah.
Visual. I had a blast. It's not my top film, and we'll get to
yeah.
what it is for me.
Cool. Yeah, well, that's
great. But again, I'm not an Aquaman fan. I'm not an Aquaman lover. So it
sounds like we both had fun. I'm maybe skewing a bit more
yeah.
negative, and you're a bit more positive. But I don't want to. I certainly didn't hate this film, but the thing that for me that keeps it back from being as great as it should be again. To me, like, the visuals are kind of like the not most important thing for me, typically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want story, I want character, I want those squelchy, geeky moments of heroics that I just get caught up in, and then the visuals support that. But the visuals are such an incredible
yeah.
achievement, and there's so much great James Wan stuff and some great monster stuff. Great
yes.
monster stuff.
Agreed.
And, can we say... across the board, that CGI is phenomenal.
It's
in this
great.
Movie. There is no like.
I thought there were a couple moments.
Which,
of,
do you want to go into
Roxy? Do you want to go into
yeah,
your
I'll
general?
Get, I'll
kind
give
of,
my. I'll yeah. give my general. In general, I also had fun with this movie. I also thought it was too long. I think I'm a way bigger fan of the performances than most the critics or fans that I have heard. I loved every performance.
I
literally loved everyone. I think Amber Heard is a star in this movie.
She's
stole it for me. The whole thing. I just, agreed. I fell in love. I fell in love with her. I know people were talking about the lack of chemistry between her and Momoa. I thought that it was so heated and there's so much chemistry. I don't know where that's coming from. I thought Momoa was a perfect Aquaman. Patrick Wilson, who, by the way, I got to interview them all for the press junket, but he could not have been a cooler dude. They were all great. James Wan, Amber Heard, Jason Momoa, and Patrick Wilson were all amazing, but Patrick was the nicest guy. Like, and to watch what he did on screen, so different than that. He just,
the way he was dancing around that water was he's the coolest awesome. Thing like, in the world.
I love him. I love Willem Dafoe. I love every performance in this. I did not have one problem with it. I had some issues with story, and that's okay. This made me really excited for Aquaman's future in the DC and for an Aquaman 2 and for down the line, wherever we see him, whatever he does, whatever Amber Heard does, because, you know, I think that she could be more involved in a Justice League situation
of course.
Whatever it is. I just am so excited for the future, even though to me there were some holes and some of the jokes did fall flat and some of the moments were a little bit of a letdown. There was heart at the beginning. We lost a little bit of heart towards the middle and then there was heart at the end. So for me, this was a good, good movie. Not great. Good. Definitely good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a very general broad take.
Yep.
specifically, I think that's what I feel. I agree very much. I think maybe some of the performances, I did not think there was great chemistry between them.
Not alone. A lot of people saw no chemistry. I don't get
and
it.
And I just think that when you had the two of them up there up front, I did not get the movie star magic. And there was like, there were times where Momoa's delivery, it just felt so canned. Like they were very like these quippy one-liners, even from his first line on the screen, like, to me, that's supposed to be like an applause line, and it felt like it dropped a little bit like a lead balloon in my theater, where like they wanted to get on and like because they were laughing sometimes, but when you like come out with a couple of jokes and they fall flat, it's almost harder to get everybody back on your side because then people start looking at you with the side eye kind of thing.
Yeah, should we get into our spoilers?
Yeah,
let's
get into it.
Let's dive in.
Let's get specific.
Oh, here we go again.
But before we talk about spoilers, before we go really off the deep end, perhaps we should remind you that after whatever you do, you see Aquaman, you come home, you're like, I still need some more DC. You all you could do, if you don't have DC Universe, you can get it today. And then you have 11... maybe 12 hours of original Titans content coming
at you.
Very true.
Very true. So if you're a DC fan, which if you're watching our Aquaman review right now, you probably are, you're definitely going to want to check out the latest live action series, Titans. It's available now on DC Universe. The series premiered on October 12th, and new episodes are available to stream every Friday, which is today, by the way. So if you're watching this live, then make sure you check out the 11th episode, which just aired. It's the first original series to launch on DC Universe, and it follows a group of young, soon-to-be superheroes, including, but definitely not limited to, because we've seen a whole motley crew of people, Dick Grayson, Rachel Ruff, Corey Anders, and Gar Logan. But we also got all Doom Patrol, and we've got our Hawk and Doves of the world, who are great. The group gets caught up in a conspiracy to bring about hell on Earth. They become a surrogate family and team of heroes, and it's a gritty take on the Teen Titans franchise from executive producers Akiva Goldsman, Jeff Johns, Greg Berlanti, Greg Walker, Sarah Schechter, and John Fawcett. Some pretty big hitters there, by the way. Titans explores one of the most popular comic book teams ever. It's available only on DC Universe, and it's on all of your favorite devices, so whatever you got, not to worry, it is there. It's only $7.99 a month. Or, speaking of the holiday time, if you want to get somebody a yearly membership, you actually get 20% off, which is a great deal. So join the Ultimate DC membership at DCUniverse.com. That is DCUniverse.com.
All the Batman animated series episodes are up there. All the Flash 90 series, Super Friends.
Human Target's on there.
Comic books, Human Target.
And remember, they announced when they're doing their original animated movies now, they're time and day,
yes,
they're going to be launching there.
So day and day, if you saw part one of The Death of Superman, of the the reign of the Superman as the next part. That is going to be released on DC Universe the same day it's released everywhere on Blu-ray and digital.
Which pretty much makes it worth the cost just that.
Because... Yeah, just because you'll get three of those at least a year
exactly.
from DC. So anyway, that's pretty awesome. Now let's talk about spoilers, Aquaman.
Spoilers. This is spoilers.
If I see a single comment in the chat, or if I see on iTunes or YouTube, somebody's like, what? They spoiled it and they didn't tell us.
You mother of
you. You spoil. We are saying, this is me. We're spoiling. We're spoiling. That's me.
That's spoiling.
So now you know.
Now you have a limited amount of time, so we should really jump into this.
Dive in.
Dive in. Sorry,
I'm
we're diving
on the
in.
Beam, bam, watch as I dive in.
You don't think that's a waste of time?
No, that's definitely not a waste of time.
Thank you. All right, so let's talk spoilers.
Okay, so
favorite and least favorite things. What are your favorite moments? Least favorite moments. What irked you?
Okay, my favorite moments in general are these grand underwater action set pieces that come out of nowhere and are just spectacle. Jaw-dropping, the way we talked about Orm, the way he like moves around as he's addressing people, his overall look played very well by Patrick Wilson.
So you liked underwater better than you liked the on-land stuff?
Yes. To me, like when we were underwater, I was like, this is why this movie exists. This is what, you know, and I like the lighthouse too. I love the visual, the classic comic book visuals of the lighthouse.
The story going on at the lighthouse was my favorite story in the entire movie.
Yes.
With his dad and with like the splash part of it all.
Yep.
That was...
Splash, exactly.
That we got a nice heart. Splash. That was the reference. Heart of it all. That was where it was.
You bring up Splash. There are so many movies that they pulled from for this that I loved. Splash, I got a lot of Romancing the Stone vibe from the middle part of the film.
Yes.
And that's why a lot of people don't like the second act. I love the second act. Romancing the Stone for me is such a great film. So to see this, I think when people said Uncharted and Indiana Jones, that's what they're meaning, but it wasn't that for me. It was Romancing the Stone.
Well, because there are a few scenes in the middle, what we're talking about is where they sort of go on this quest to find
the
Trident.
And they're on dry land. And it's this
great
kind of antagonistic...
It's the two of them, right? It is Romancing the Stone. It's Kathleen Turner's character and Michael Douglas, kind of like, hey, you know, will they, won't they, at each other?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How did you guys feel about some of that mixed with the more jokey tone of like people playing of octopuses playing the drums?
Okay, let's address this.
Okay.
Because I know the character of Topo, his pet octopus, and hearing that was such. Uproar about, you know, people in there. If you like a movie with an octopus playing drums.
Right.
It was a transition scene.
Yes.
It wasn't
beautiful
like,
shot,
it wasn't
actually.
Like they're talking and talking.
Beautiful shot.
And Arthur goes, leans over and there's an octopus with walking away.
Mike, I'm not just talking about that, though. I'm talking about also, like, the way that music combined with some of the movements. Like, how every time that Aquaman turns around, it's like, boom, boom. And, like, he has, like, these very intense... panning, sweeping moments with
those are the kind of posy things that
didn't work for you.
That's what I'm saying. When it was like posing, where it was like it felt like it was cueing me to do something.
Okay.
And then, you know, still... So, keeping with the positive,
the
general
positives,
that octopus shot alone, because I had heard about that, and then people made it sound like it was this jumps the shark moment. Very good analogy to use for this film. Not at all. That doesn't take you out of more. The world underwater is believable. I believed everything that was going on under there. Even crustacean people. Like, I was on board for all that stuff.
I was so happy that we did not, and we knew we weren't going to have all the bubbles coming out of the mouth.
No, the way they made the slight effect that they used for underwater.
I didn't like the sound.
I liked the sound.
I liked it too.
And that was something I thought, I was like, oh, they're just not going to acknowledge it. And also the look. The look, everybody, a lot of people might say like, oh, it looks like they're all in like a video game the whole time because when they're underwater,
the look was amazing.
It looks amazing.
The look was
but
absolutely amazing.
I could see you being on board or off because it looks like they're underwater.
Speaking
you know?
Of looks, most of the costumes were phenomenal. I loved the way that 90% of the people looked at 90% of the times. A couple of things that I didn't particularly like, her hair did bother me. Mara's hair did bother me. And Nicole Kidman's quick change, where she comes back in this robe of all robes after being stuck for so long, and then she's all of a sudden in this, like, I was like, wait, when did you change that? Why are we wearing that? But that was what it was. Other than those two specific things, I thought that the costume design and was just so good.
The swimming, the way, like
move.
Like Orm is delivering this rallying the troops kind of speech, right? And he's not just, like, walking around a room. He's using every part of the space of water and making it look so natural, and it's balletic. And I don't know how they did it. I guess it was a lot of wire stuff, but it was incredible. And you're right. To get people to go to a movie theater, you need to provide something that is almost like a ride that feels physical. Right. That's the feeling I got with Into the Spider-Verse. And I would say that even more so with Aquaman, as far as just an engulfing spectacle. These are all the things I really liked about the movie, and there's a lot to like.
What are some of the things that you really loved about the movie?
Amber Heard, Patrick Wilson.
Same.
Momoa? I will say this. Momoa, to me, was from the beginning, even back in Justice League and BVS, I'm like, oh, this is a different take. But we got the journey of a hero. We saw he's this, and Juan took, he's okay, this is my Momoa. I'm not going to try and make him something he's not. I'm going to push into this. The scene with him in the bar fight where you're just like, oh, here comes the typical bar fight. And what it turned into, you're like, that is brilliant.
The selfie.
Funny thing about that, when I saw it in the trailer, I thought it was a fight, but when I saw it in the movie, I knew it was coming.
You did?
Yeah.
So I had no idea.
I wonder
why that is, but I guess the way it played, because we had gotten we had already seen the thing of him being praised in the paper. That was the piece of information that we didn't have in the trailer. Yeah. And so I just thought that would be weird if these guys want to fight this guy that just kind of helps people, and they didn't. And I liked it, even though I saw where it was going.
I loved the ending. I loved Nicole Kidman coming out. This Nicole Kidman with what happened with her, because I had no idea that that happened at the end, and all that comes back.
You had no idea what happened?
That she's alive.
You had to know it's Nicole Kidman who's
coming. I didn't know she was coming. No, I didn't.
I was not.
I
didn't know that that happens that way, because I was like, okay. And I didn't know when she arrives at the end and the two brothers and the family. For me, DC is about family. Everyone. Mm-hmm. Wayne's, the Kents, Diana and her mother. Now it's Arthur and his family. And it just hit for me. That was like my boys and
Cyborg and his dad.
And Orm who wanted... Cyborg is dead, and Orm who wanted, you see his point of view, kind of like Thanos. Mm-hmm. You see, he's like, oh, we are destroying his ocean, and he wants.
Oh, well, 100%.
But then he's on his knees and he sees his mother, and it's not like, I'll have my revenge. And he's just like, I tried and I failed.
I felt like trash about humans.
Yeah, it's like, so all like, those. Oh, and then, but we see Momoa becoming the Aquaman.
Yeah.
He's becoming the hero, and he's. That just read for me. And she shows up at the end with his father, and I was just like.
And that had heart to it.
Yeah,
something we haven't mentioned at all, and I'm curious why it hasn't been brought up. Maybe you guys didn't like. Maybe it wasn't the strongest part for you guys. How did you feel about Black Manta?
I think the best thing about Black Manta was how it looked. There was a lot of, I felt, not to get into the negative stuff, but it was just a lot of, again, posturing and stuff that came off was kind of corny and forced. He was even like posing and grimacing at the camera in really cliche ways, which is what I get. It's comic book, but like the way he was like, I will get you, Aquaman kind of stuff.
Did you have an issue with the dialogue, with the script, with the direction, or with the actor?
Combination? I think a combination, honestly, because a lot of it just felt like people like making a pose and making a face.
Okay.
And that was a recurring thing throughout the film.
Yeah. I feel like you and I
are always the same side of the two different sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Because we both come from a background of comic books where you get the splash panel of him of, you know, every single shot, almost shot of this were splash panels that could have been framed on a wall.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I love that. I love the backstory. My friend who I went with was like, you didn't need a backstory. You didn't need Aquaman's backstory. He's just a pirate. I'm like, no, I want to know that. Like that when he's leaving.
Well, that's not what you're saying.
No, I know he's not. Yeah. But he's like, for story-wise, Arthur's like, you know, the seas, you know, you kill people, help yourself. And he leaves him to die.
I love that. That was a great character choice.
I love the
brilliant.
Fact.
It was brilliant. It makes him different than our Supermans.
And you see the Manta and the costumes. Like, how did he do this? To see the Atlanteans give him the technology.
That was so cool in the scene.
I hated the montage music. The montage building.
I actually didn't like a lot of the music in this.
We'll talk about that. But to see him build it, I was like, that is brilliant. The fact that you see where the text's coming from.
Painting, yes. Like the whole thing. Because how many times have you guys watched a TV show or a movie and you're like, How did they do that?
Yes.
At what point did you make that costume, bro?
You need verisimilitude in the world that you're building.
And
you
watching his backstory, because not only do we need Aquaman's origin story, but I needed Black Manta's a little bit. And I needed to know what happened and why he hated him so much.
And there was enough Black Manta in the film. Yeah. People were saying, like, oh, he's hardly in it. Like, he was
for me,
in
Black Manta, I don't know if he could be the whole film. Like, Black Manta versus Aquaman. Like, so him being the secondary villain, but the fight scenes with him and they were fantastic.
That one
scene. The
way
they shot those fights.
With Mara running across the building tops. You didn't like that?
No, I loved it, but we saw all that at Comic-Con.
We did, yeah. Oh.
We saw that entire scene. So when it read, I was like, oh, I've seen all
Did you see the wine part at Comic-Con?
No, which was awesome.
Dope. That was so awesome. Cool. I love that.
The wine.
Oh, yeah. Well, I liked it.
But my gut was just like,
a lot of this
so
stuff
much
that...
money.
You're like, the rosé.
Millennials love their rosé.
I loved Mira manipulating water.
Oh, it was...
And also, another thing I really, really loved was how they eventually had Arthur talking to the fish. And I like that it's only him that could talk to the fish, and then they actually had the super friends.
The bubbles.
Circles. Right. They did it twice, and that was done well.
Another thing that had a lot of heart for me that I loved was watching Willem Dafoe train Aquaman.
Yeah.
I thought that was really strong.
A lot of people and I talked, it's funny because I don't know how I'm going to see movies going out from now on, because I see movies, and a lot of the people that I always go to these films with are writers. So when they come out, they pick it apart with like, what would have done better, what would I have done better? And I get it, because when I watch a movie as an actor, sometimes I'm like, well, if I was in this role, I would have done this choice. So it's hard to do this, so it takes it out of it for me. Like, they didn't like all that backstory with Valku.
Right.
And I was just like, I love that. And for me, yes, it's a 2.5-hour film, but like with Infinity War, I wanted to see the Steve and Bucky reunion. And the filmmaker said, we had to cut stuff for time.
Right.
I would have seen for 3 hours that extra stuff. So that we got with Valku, the backstory, I love that they gave it to us.
Not to make fun of your friends, because I'm sure they're great people. And in fact, I know a lot of them. But what the smartest writers do and what the smartest people in the business do is they say, what did this movie do right? Not what would I have done better.
Oh, I agree.
Because if we're picking apart Aquaman, which, by the way, all three of us at this table clearly liked.
Yes.
If you're picking it apart and you're talking about the fact that it's Friday morning right now. And this movie has made back its money.
Mm-hmm.
It's hitting with people.
It's resonating. People are liking it. It's the same thing, and I know this is crossing the aisle for a second, but it's an easy take to have that you don't like Venom and they did everything wrong and what you would have done better. I would have done a lot of things better, different, whatever, even though I liked the movie. But it's harder to say, why is this resonating with people? What did they do right? And looking at Aquaman, regardless of how you personally feel about the movie, it's doing a lot right.
Yeah.
A ton.
More so than Justice League, which is so shocking, right? Which where you had everything at the wall, and it's like still mind blowing. But that's the game of this business right now, is figuring out why are these different takes, why are these deeper cuts being successful.
Justice League feels small compared to Aquaman to me.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
It feels tiny. Justice League.
It's amazing to me.
Aquaman made me like Justice League less, and I know that's kind of an unfair comment.
That's not an unfair comment.
But seeing like what a world can be.
Yeah.
Was so amazing for me.
Yeah. So do we want to go around saying what we didn't like so much? I know you don't have a lot of time. What's the best use of...
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about some of our qualms with it.
Okay, so I had a fair amount of qualms with it. And I think, to me, this is just because we're so spoiled, we get so many of these great comic book movies, and they're constantly changing the game. So from a story and character point of view, this doesn't do anything to forward or change the game. So if what you want it just is beats that you've seen before done better in other movies, from a character point of view, that's disappointing. But then all the action and stuff and the underwater is so unique, so different. I don't love Momoa as much as I want him to. I didn't love Amber Heard as much as I wanted to. Part of it is I think the dialogue. You know, when we've had Batman Begins, it's hard because that did something in such an incredibly different way by a filmmaker that was completely autonomous. And even this film, he had Momoa already cast. James Wan didn't cast Momoa. And that's not to say that he wouldn't or he disagreed with that casting, but there's even an element of this film that is not completely James Wan's, that he did inherit some of it. And I think what he brought to the table was incredible. But there's a lot of eye-rolling moments in this movie. And there is a corniness to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to be the biggest negative, but it is definitely fun.
A lot of the music did not help those situations for me. And there were some times where there would be a note or two even that I was like, okay, I get that you guys are trying to evoke a certain emotion out of me and that's not quite working. Mm-hmm. Tonally, this movie worked 80% of the time for me. And kind of like Mike was saying before, I actually am somebody who likes infusing humor into a lot of these films, especially when it's character humor, because some people are funnier than others, mm-hmm. right? This movie, at some points, it felt the humor fell a little bit, and it would have been better without. So that, for me, was some of the weaker stuff. I didn't mind the second act, but it didn't have the same heart that the first act and third act had. And for me, going into something like this, where we started so strong with such a beautiful story, I needed that heart to be carried through as opposed to just like an action adventure, which is what it turned into at some point, which I get why Aquaman would do that. But I wanted a little bit more like pulling at me.
Yeah.
Why am I invested in this and make me care?
Mm-hmm.
But I was invested in the characters, so that held me through until the ending. But those would be some of my weaker things.
Nice. Mike?
Let me ask you guys, because maybe this is an old guy thing. When someone says there's a needle drop, and people say there's three needle drops in this film that really take you out of it. What is a needle drop? Is that when
are you saying you could hear a pin drop?
No, it's like a needle drop. Do they mean like the needle drops on the record and it starts a song?
Scratch off, like in the middle of the song, it scratches off.
The three pop songies that they tried to put in killed it for me. And the moment, it's like when they're walking out of the water and there was that Toto Africa Pitbull thing. I'm just like, oh, this is terrible. I wanted a score at that point.
Okay. I agree.
I think those three films, and I don't know if that's Juan as a filmmaker. There's three scores.
I think I
like
three
that, songs.
I think I remember hearing Africa and thinking,
yeah,
oh,
there's three
cool.
musical score that aren't the score that are lyrical songs that I was like, nope, this is, I don't like it. So that I did not like. I do not care for, and maybe I think he's funny on, like, was it Fresh Off the Boat, the actor?
Yeah, a lot of people didn't think.
Him and Ant-Man and Wasp, and now this, I'm like, I'm not on board with your comedy, friend. It is what he does. And he was just adding the scenes. And that was the
same thing as Ant-Man and the Wasp. He did the same stuff.
That's
almost,
the same
right?
shtick. So maybe that's his thing as an actor.
Yeah.
And that's what you're known for.
Here's
and
the
then
thing,
they bring
though,
them in. But all of his all
he
his stuff
cast,
was,
though. And so I can't blame him for that. Yeah. I blame
but
them
all his,
for casting him because that's what he brings to the
right,
table.
Right. And that's not his fault. So he knows what he does, but it was so wacky, and it was just his stuff was added in reshoots.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell it was that stuff on TV. Like, you needed the BVS, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, those real personalities to ground it, where he was just kind of this over the top Atlantis is real, and I'm just like,
right.
I just didn't work for me.
And there was a few tangential threads to Justice League. You defeated Steppenwolf.
That was fine.
You threw that in there. Yeah. It kept it in the same world.
Barely, and I was so happy with that.
Yeah, it was just a nod like, hey, we exist, this happened.
Yeah. And so when Mara shows up at the lighthouse, like, you have the fact that they have met a little bit.
It
but they really don't know each other as well.
Right.
It was a little weird because in Justice League, you felt like they did know each other better than they did in Aquaman. It was almost like the status had flip-flopped.
For a second there, I was like, oh, she's just walking up and talking to him. Like, oh, no, they've met.
Yes.
They know each other.
Yeah.
There's you're going to bother me again. I'm not coming back to Atlantis. I'm not hearing any of this crap.
Yeah.
So the record, and again, it's like you said, it's a casting. It's not an actor thing. He's got his thing, and he's making a living.
Yeah.
So that's his thing. It's like when you bring The Rock, you know what you're getting. So it is a casting thing. I think they would have done differently with that. But the humor did fall flat for me. There was several times. And maybe someone said it's like, well, maybe a different actor in the role would have been able to make that humor. It's like, well, you've got Momoa. You're not changing that, so maybe not do the humor.
I think you're absolutely right. And that's what I mean when I'm like the acting. And you really see how hard it is to be a great actor, how hard it is to be like a Hugh Jackman or any of these guys that like take you and totally ground you and bring you into this reality. But there's also a few people that look like they're drawn on the comic book page, like Cavill and Momoa.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're the most versatile actors in the world, but they physically embody, like when he's in that orange costume at the end, he looks like he looks like the Justice League cartoon with the shoulders that are wider than he is tall Aquaman.
You're just like, and I love the fact that DC's doing this thing now where it's like the last shot is the hero shot. Like they did in Wonder Woman flying to the screen, and you get those hero shots with him, Momoa, that like some of those moves with him when he's like on the battle with him. I know we're going back to, we're talking about what we don't like, but that end battle with him and Orm, I love Orm.
Yeah, I love Orm too, and I love that battle. And the one thing I'll say before I leave too is that, again, when I was talking to James Wan about whether how you fix the perception of Aquaman being this goofy guy, this guy that you know people have written off as a joke, and he said, this is why we cast Jason Momoa. Because you can't look at that and think goofy, like,
right.
And if that's the reason you cast him, that worked.
Oh,
that for me played.
I do also want you to rank all your DCU films, starting with Man of Steel, before you leave, if you could.
So I am very unpopular, as you guys know. My opinions are very, very
Roxy's
unpopular.
Hot take.
But
it's your
go.
Opinion.
Yeah.
And that's allowed.
It can't be wrong. So they're unpopular. My number one is still, and I'm going to go top to bottom because that's what's easiest to do in my brain, even though the smarter
number
way
one.
Is everyone. My number one is Wonder Woman. Absolutely, without a doubt. My number two is Suicide Squad. I know that that's not a popular
Roxy
one.
Coming in with the hot take.
The rewatchability for me, and not best, favorite, we're talking.
Yeah,
favorite,
just what
not
you
best.
Love. Yeah.
I have such a fun time every time I watch Suicide Squad. It's so weird and so whatever, but the rewatchability is there for me. Number three would be Aquaman. This just clinched the number three spot. After that would be Justice League, because I still did enjoy that movie. After that would be BVS, and then Man of Steel is my last.
Okay.
Roxy, I love it. I love that you got a take like that.
Yeah.
By good for you.
But I don't think there's a single other person in the world who...
No, there is. Hey, it's like Venom. People love Suicide Squad.
I really like that movie. I just really like it. Like, even now,
they love it.
After so many times of making fun of the Enchantress dance, every time I watch it, I giggle.
It starts to take on a Rocky Horror
yeah,
almost.
It's not the
first
intended...
45 minutes of that movie, I love.
Yeah,
I love the first 45
minutes.
It's not
minutes. They didn't get their desire, their intention, did not come across, but every time I watch it, like if I'm sitting there and I'm eating ice cream on the couch, I'm hanging out, I'm watching it.
You're leaving it on.
Yeah.
Yes, 100 out of 100 times. Because it's
fun. And that's why movies are awesome.
Yeah.
That's why I love them.
Yeah. And I love Will Smith and I love Margot Robbie and just watching them do their thing. It's like, yeah, I'm in. Okay, guys. Happy Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I love you guys very much. Thank you for watching DC Movie News for the entire year. They are not leaving, but I am, so I'm just saying you guys have been the most amazing for 4 years. Four years
we've been here.
Friends of ours, and we literally couldn't do it without you.
More years than there were movies released in the DC extended
universe. You've been through
us
through the really lean stuff too, man.
Lean stuff.
Mostly been lean.
We got a couple more movies coming next year. I can't wait to see this show continue to grow. Thank you guys and to Johnny for doing this with me. I love you guys and happy end of 2018.
Wonderful holiday.
Yeah,
follow her at Roxy Stryer, everyone.
Oh, yeah, that too.
All around.
Well, I'll hit you up when we leave.
She'll tell you about
love you guys.
Smoking weed and stuff.
That's true.
All the
talking about
the devil's
squad.
Cabbage.
The devil's cabbage.
I heard that and I was like, the devil's cabbage, that is perfect. All right, we're going to go down here. Here we go. So what are we still talking about? You and me, my friend.
Okay,
the
so...
Two sides, two different...
I know.
Opposite sides of the same coin. Is that
opposite
what it is?
Opposite sides of the same coin.
All right.
So former Schmodown comrades.
Oh, Jesus. Here we are on this table together.
Oh, my God. I can't stand you.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, the other thing that I want to say, I guess my big negative thing that I agreed with...
Okay.
I agreed with somebody about that second act stuff, the... finding that stuff, the going through the desert. We did see a lot of that stuff in the trailers, and it didn't really go anywhere for me. And it was just this, like, you must find the trident kind of like, what do they call that? Like a MacGuffin kind of, it's... All right.
How did you, what would you have felt? Because I thought, like...
But I've seen that a million times before.
Right.
Like,
what
all right,
would
you must
thought?
Find the trident. Like,
so
I don't know.
They're in that cool little town. What if they went to, like, a church, found some catacombs, and went down there? It was just, like, the in the desert...
What...
It they just, were in the city and then the desert. It was just condense that.
Mikey,
condense those.
If I had to put my finger on why that stuff didn't work for me, it's just it felt like they were doing the beats of what we need to do to take this around the world and feel epic rather than feeling organic in any way.
Gotcha.
To the world of the movie. And listen, guys, I know it's called Aquaman and it is inherently silly and there is a silliness that James Wan leaned into it. All I can say is many different kinds of movies work or don't work, but there's a magic mojo and they bring you in. Into the Spider-Verse goes bug nutty off logical places, and the third act of that film doesn't even exist on a physical plane.
Right.
But if you're sucked into the world, it works. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And this was a lot of stutter stops for me. If I had to rank them, this is not easy for me to do.
I don't know where I'm going to do this yet.
Because
go for it.
It's very clustered. This is how I'm going to rank them right now. if I'm thinking of the films that I want to watch most or the least, the bottom for me is Suicide Squad. That's easy. Not a film I enjoy or enjoy ironically. Then next is BVS Theatrical Cut. It just is too much of a downer. And I just can't recognize a lot of the characters as I love them and want them to be. But then above that, I'm going to put Aquaman.
Oh.
Yes.
So you went Suicide Squad, BVS,
theatrical cut.
Then Aquaman.
Aquaman.
Wow.
Then above that, I'm putting the extended cut of BVS.
Wow.
And then I'm putting Man of Steel above that. And then I'm putting Wonder Woman at the
Justice
top.
Justice League.
Oh, I forgot Justice League.
I was waiting. I was like, it was
Justice League.
High.
Justice League is going to go behind Aquaman before BVS theatrical cut.
Okay.
So I liked Justice League better than the BVS theatrical cut. I like the extended cut of BVS better than Aquaman.
Okay.
And then I like Man of Steel more than extended cut of BVS. And then this is so hard to go in this direction. And then it was Man of Steel and then Wonder Woman at the top. I think Wonder Woman.
I don't know what I do.
But it's very tight in there, guys. It is very tight in there.
You know, I'm like,
and Aquaman could rise up.
Wonder Woman's my top.
Okay.
Suicide Squad, then Justice League are my bottom. I don't know if I really even think about the director, the theatrical cut of BVS anymore. So I've got Man of Steel.
Just throw that out there.
Ultimate
okay.
cut and Aquaman, and I've only seen Aquaman once, so I'm going to hold off until I see Aquaman a couple more times.
Okay.
Because it's high right now.
So BVS, are you putting it at like two right now?
BVS is such a dense movie for me that I love, but I will never just put it in just to watch it. I have to sit down and really invest. Like, it won't be like Aquaman, I'll throw on, like I throw on Infinity War. I'm just like, I just want to see some cool scenes. I remember this scene. It's just fun. It's an enjoyable time. BVS, I'm like, it's not happy. I don't walk out of that going, man, I'm like, it gets heavy for me, BBS.
Yeah.
But I love it.
But the ultimate cut fixes a lot of the Clark yes. problems that I have.
Man of Steel to me is still phenomenal.
It is really rewatchable. It's a kind of film that I was not as positive about, and over the years I've kind of enjoyed it more and more.
Yeah.
It has aged really well with me. And I mean, yeah, Wonder Woman's still at the top right now, but
yeah,
even
it's the gold standard to me.
It's a good standard, but there's problems with Wonder Woman
sure,
too. Like
sure,
none
sure,
of
sure,
these
sure,
are,
sure.
are perfect films.
No.
You know? None of these are Batman Begins or Dark Knight. None of them, you know?
Wonder Woman for me it gets up there. It does.
I wouldn't put it above Batman Begins or Dark Knight. I might put it above Dark Knight Rises.
I wouldn't put it above Batman Begins. I'd put it above Dark Knight for me.
Wonder Woman, you would.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's a hot
oh, yeah.
take.
It's a hot
I respect
take
that because that
stand
is
by,
a fiery take.
I will stand by with a flamethrower to shoot that hot take.
Dark Knight is one of my favorite movies.
I'll
period.
Say this,
end of sentence.
I've said it before. Dark Knight to me is a phenomenal film. It's not a phenomenal Batman film.
Okay.
If you took him out of that cowl and cape and put him in a leather jacket and a mask, it is the same film. Batman needs to be comic booky. Like Chicago right. was Chicago.
Okay.
Listen, there was
different
no Gotham.
Take. Well, this is why you enjoyed Aquaman more than I did in
Could
some
be.
Ways.
Yeah.
You know? I guess I want the thing to work cinematically and whatever it is, I just don't want it to take me out of it too much. I think I loved Diana more than I liked Arthur. I feel I really
yeah,
do pick up
you.
On Jason Momoa's limitations as an actor.
And that is a valid point.
And I think he's a great personality and a great guy. And I'm talking about, you're talking to a fan of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies
back
in the
it
day.
Is a...
He's not a great actor, but used properly, Arnold is amazing. And
yeah.
I'm sure the same is true of Momoa. Like as Khal Drogo, he was freaking incredible.
Right.
He was perfect. He didn't have to do that
again,
much
a lot
though,
of people, and I don't know how you feel, like I'm not invested in Aquaman as a character. So I didn't have a high. I don't want to say the high bar, and it didn't. That
no,
going,
but you're not.
I hate that. I'm going in with low expectations. That's ridiculous. I just had nothing invested or to look like. I wasn't. I didn't read every single issue of Aquaman. So
I know.
It was not
I know.
Like,
same. But
yeah.
But when the Marvel model does it right, they're
right.
informing people about a character. Guardians of the Galaxy is always the go-to, right? Like nobody cared about that. Now it's the hottest property.
Well, let
in
me
the
say
world.
This then to that. Not
so,
to you know compare whatever, but this film and why I swung for the fences. Like we had him having conversations with a lobster, Orm, like that,
yeah.
that whatever that crustacean was, and then the
yeah.
Fisher King, And not that, again, here we go, it gets Marvel, but it's like, we've never seen the Marvel characters, we had the Sovereign, which were gold humans.
Right.
We had Gamora, which were green humans. It's just like, we've never seen them push that envelope of talking to these ridiculous species of aliens.
I will give you Groot and Rocket Raccoon.
Sure.
And who work very well.
Right.
And again, the difference there is that the Marvel films tend to dig a little bit deeper on the character stuff
and
making you get to love those people. And that is their intention, and they state it. They don't look as good as some of these films. Like, there's no Marvel film that feels as... Even Infinity War, which is, like, the most spectacular Marvel films, it has that great Marvel look, which I love. But this underwater stuff is crazy.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
I don't know what James Cameron is going to do to compete with this
stuff.
Well,
I don't know what Marvel's going to do when they want to do a Namor film.
Well, but they don't even have the rights to Namor.
He's on the back.
But, yeah, you're right. It's tough. And I don't know how Aquaman is going to age on my list because I just have seen it. And a lot of what makes me like these films is rewatchability.
I'll say that because a lot of people are like, you know, well, Mike, you loved Justice League when you first saw it. And you guys were right because I did. And I let the hype get to me. And that's why I'm going to kind of step back before I see this film a couple more times. And before I give you a definitive, like, this is what I view. Because Justice League, when I watch it now, I'm like, oh, you see the seams. You see all the – you see the Whedon and you see this Snyder just doing this the entire film. And you're just like, you saw what could have been great and then this happened and you saw – and I'm like – but for Aquaman, to me, I didn't see that. I didn't see – it's seamless as far as the – and again, going back to what I just said, it's not a knocking Marvel. It's just a – when I go to a movie and I view stuff, like, you know, I'm like you said, the visuals, like, you know, the Fisher King and all that stuff. And then the way that the Fisher Kings, their suits, they kind of looked at those jet ski things that they got into that were breaking off. I'm like,
I even talking about this film – the more I think about it, the more I'm excited to see it again.
I'll tell you this, and that's why I say this, because hot take here. When I saw Into the Spider-Verse, I had so many of my friends saying it's the greatest movie of the year.
Right.
And I went into it waiting for the next thing to be like, when am I going to be wowed? And I didn't live in the moment of the film.
Yeah.
And I got out, and they're like, what'd you think? I was like, oh, it was good. And they're like, then they're like, yo, DC guy, you hated Spider-Man. I was like, no, I didn't hate it. But for 24 hours, I couldn't stop thinking about it, Spider-Verse. And I was like, I have to see it again. Because I was thinking about it constantly, because I want to go back. I want to see it again. Ant-Man and the Wasp, I forgot about it an hour after the film, and I haven't seen it since. This Aquaman, I've been thinking about it since I saw it last night. So I was like, that's what a good movie does to me. It makes you want to go back and discover and, like, what did I feel? Did I feel this? You know?
Yeah.
That's my take on
it. All right. Well, listen, this was a... this was about where I expected us to be, you know?
I'm curious why Roxy thought I wasn't going to like it.
I don't know.
Maybe the humor thing.
Maybe.
Because that is, for me, still a... every time some kind of joke drops or the record scratch or that music, I'm like, ugh.
So, and you said, so we ranked it. You gave it like a B if you had
to. I said, I went in seeing it a B. When I walked out, I was like, that is a solid B for me. A solid, solid
B. So maybe
B.
It's a B minus for me.
I'm a B student in school my entire life, and I was happy. So,
maybe it's a B minus overall for me.
Okay.
No way is it a C plus.
No.
I think, very conservatively, I think James Wan is obviously an incredibly talented person.
Yeah.
I think that wraps it up for movies.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of a very abbreviated, a sousson of a TV time.
It's
in
time
her
for
honor.
Roxy Stryver's TV
yes.
time. All the girls think Johnny's fine. Adam's cooking so divine. Also Mike at Christmas time. DC movie news, it's time to talk. TV time!
Yowza! Yeah.
I'm excited to be here talking about this because I have not been here for a while. That's
you have
my fault.
Not,
that
and so we really haven't talked Titans.
Fault. Titans, guys, if you're a fan of... I gotta talk about this because... I don't know if I was on board with Titans from the beginning. I was invited to that little thing over Comic-Con, and that first trailer dropped with the whole F Batman, and I was just like, ah, that's what they're doing. But I finally was able to sit down and binge Titans. The six episodes had come out, and I fell in love with it.
What was your favorite episode? I'm just curious.
So far, I've seen everyone except last night's. I love the Jason Todd.
I love that Jason Todd episode.
Watching Doom Patrol, I can see where they were exactly like, yep, green light that as a series, because that was phenomenal.
But it seemed like a soft pilot for this show. Like, they already knew that they were heading in that direction.
But so it's just like...
because it was such a bottle episode.
Yeah, and just like creepy and weird.
Very interesting tone.
I love the Jason. For me, I wasn't sold on the guy as Robin, Brenton Thwaites.
Brenton Thwaites.
Because he looks so young to me. I'm
That's
like,
what Roxy
this is good. But I looked him up. He's almost 30.
Yeah.
That's a perfect Dick Grayson age. That is like, oh, okay, I'm on board. He just looks young for
his
age.
And I always say, Kalinowski, you know, because my brother was a cop. I know a little bit about
this. Yeah,
he was a detective by the time he was about 30.
Yeah.
And you have to take a test. So how's Dick Grayson doing on the test?
He's acing it. Acing it.
Almost to the point where, like, he probably would have to fail it a couple times
Did you ever read the
to make it not look so good?
The Nightwing comics in the early 2000s where he became a cop. And, like, he purposely... Not failed, but poorly in the exams.
He almost did like a Clark Kent bumbling kind of thing.
He was like, they're like, Grayson, you're slacking, you know, move it. And the, like in the physical stuff, he would kind of like, you know, hold back. It was kind of cool stuff. He was kind of like the so-so cop. He was the C-plus cop.
Yeah, it's definitely the most adult R-rated DC mainstream superhero show we've ever gotten.
You and I talked about this a little bit the other day with Marvel. The fact that they talk about Bruce, Diana, Themyscira.
So much so.
They don't hem and haw it around it on certain other shows that we watch that are kind of like, well, we don't know if we could talk about it, so we're going to mention the rich guy.
I'll just get out and say it. The way that the Netflix Marvel shows and the ABC Marvel shows have failed us with tying to the greater continuity as a fan.
Well, I wasn't
Marvel,
even saying that. I was going to say some of our DC friends.
Oh, I'm saying it.
Oh, you go for it.
I'm saying it is a bummer. But the way that they not only just address it, but they make Batman such a successful part of the show by creating a Spectre.
We got the Batcave and the Batmobile, for God's sakes.
And we got Bruce and Shoulders and like, we got a whole backstory. They've created such a great... Talk about comic booky. This is the most... And I know we're supposed to be more specifically...
I'll do this.
Okay.
I'll get to this. Don't worry.
It's just... yeah, and Hawk and Dove, and they're freaking... They look so gorgeous.
And that origin for them is like, oh...
Dark. This is DC Dark done really well.
You know,
to
it's
me.
Funny because we were talking. It's like when a show like this, if this was on a network, you get two episodes and they're like, oh, it's not getting the audience, can it? They knew they had the X amount of episodes. They knew where the story was going to go. They greenlit the second season before this first one even aired. So you knew, like, it is the evolution. I didn't know. Yeah. I had no clue that he was going to be Nightwing eventually. Like,
they're going
Nightwing. There's going to be a Nightwing suit.
He burned. Spoilers. He may have.
They spoiled. He burned that a while ago.
He burned that suit.
But it's like, yeah, he's going to be Nightwing eventually. So I'm like, I love this show.
That would be incredible to see. And so people have seen Batman is apparently in the finale, which is either dropped today or next week.
Yes.
And do you think, but you don't think you're going to see a face of
Batman? I don't think so. And I think I like that because the minute he gets a face and it's an actor, we're instantly throwing assumptions to it.
I couldn't agree more.
This way I can put what I think of Bruce Wayne into that.
Exactly.
And it's not the story of Bruce Wayne. It's the story of the Titans.
I love it.
But if you're a fan, guys, and we're talking about this, you know, check out it's DC Universe. It's the app. It is Titans started back in October, I think it was. And that's, you know, it's every week they're releasing. The newest one came out last night. Every Friday.
Yeah.
It's Dick Grayson, you know, Rachel Roth, Corey Anders, Gar Logan. And now they're kind of doing the whole Trigon thing. The whole Raven being the daughter and stuff, which I love. It's kind of a gritty take. So if people love Teen Titans, this is like, I saw Teen Titans go in the movies. Not for me.
But again, so crazy that they can put out the same in the same year.
But you talk about like Titans, like no comedy. It's really not funny, and I love it.
And just to clarify, the finale of Teen Titans premieres today. I'm going to go home and watch it right now. December 21st.
Titans, yes.
So the same day Aquaman opens everywhere, the Titans finale is on.
DC it is Christmas.
It is DC Christmas.
It's from executive producers Akiva Goldsmith, Jeff Johns, Greg Berlanti, Greg Walker, Sarah Schlatter, and John Fawcett. This is, you know, the Titans coming together. And again, it's just a different take on it. I love it. I'm on board. I know you guys have been trying to reach out to me to talk about Titans, so I'm finally here talking about it. I'm going to kind of go into more. I want to talk more about it, but I mean, season two is going to start filming in February, they say.
Yes.
So, but then it's on all your favorite devices. Just dropped on Amazon Fire. That was the big, like, they gave
so they just have a new app. So I imagine more formats will be available
and
as it rolls out.
People are talking, you know, they're like, why is it not doing PlayStation? Why is it not doing Xbox? It is incredibly tough to program. It's not just like you could just put it on it. They've got to do the coding for the thing. So if you guys are asking,
but
that's why.
In the meantime, it's available on Apple TV. It's available on the Fire Stick.
$7.99 a month.
What?
$7.99 a month.
$7.99 a month, or you could save a bundle, save like 20% or something if you purchase for the whole year. I watch mine with my Google Chromecast dongle.
I watch it on my Fire TV now on TV.
That's awesome. And then finally, I think the next live-action show is the aforementioned Doom Patrol.
We have
a trailer.
Let's watch it.
Let's check out the trailer of Doom Patrol. I haven't seen it yet. This is actually my first time seeing it. Yeah. Yeah.
So I love this. It's kind of a cool little thing they do.
Tiny Tim?
Photos suck. Shoulders in. Use the light. It's posture.
Oh, wait. Is that actual Ray Fisher Cyborg?
Yeah. Not Ray.
Not Ray Fisher.
No smile. Smile. Are we smiling? God.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who always ends up with red eye?
Yeah.
Right.
And, like, it's creepy.
Yeah.
It's like this, the music.
It's got an Addams Family tone to it.
It's like the whole episode was creepy, but it works for me. I mean, like.
Yeah, that looks phenomenal. Oh, that is cool. Yeah, of course, they recast, but they have Cyborg in there? Actual Cyborg. Yeah. I remember reading about that, and I know we talked about it on the show, but that was so, I didn't expect to see that he was going to be like a regular on Doom Patrol.
So.
Unreal. And you said, and then we did, of course, get also Timothy Dalton in that.
As Niles, Chief Niles Calder. So, that's February 12th, I believe that pairs.
Wow.
But have you seen, like, we'll talk about more next show. There's all this casting happening with Stargirl, too.
Yes, that, Joe McHale
and
is on there.
I think they said Swamp Thing is, I want to say they gave a date, but I don't remember.
They did give a date. They did
Swamp
give
Thing will be dropping soon. So they're doing
it's in August. I believe Swamp Thing is actually
they're piecemealing
debuting,
these new shows, but it seems like it's going to be, you know, we're going to get them in blocks, which is great, which keeps people coming back, you know. So check it out, DCUniverse.com. Because I know I'm loving it. I'm loving it. What is that, McDonald's?
That's McDonald's you're loving. So, yes, I believe that's August. I can't find the exact date.
I don't
date.
Have anything else to say. When are you going to see Aquaman again? Are you see it again?
I am going to see it again. I'll probably see it with, like, my mom and dad, because they always like to see those big blockbusters. Somewhere around Christmas time, we're Jewish, so we try to get movies and Chinese food in. It's the best thing driving around Los Angeles when it's really quiet.
You don't make your own Chinese food?
No. We have some of the best authentic Chinese food in the San Gabriel Valley near where we live. It's incredible. It's just so much great, great Asian food. But my brother's wife does celebrate Christmas, so we'll do some of that with the family. But it's a great time of year. I know you love Christmas. I know you're going to be having...
I'm in all in my heaven right now.
Are you baking cookies? What are you doing?
Cookies, baking, cooking. Got a ham that's going to be made.
That's great.
Honey glaze it myself.
That's exciting. I love it. That's it. Happy holidays, guys. Happy New Year.
Yeah, have a great New Year. We'll be back.
We'll be back.
After the first of the year.
After the first. In 2019, we'll be back. We got two big DC movies coming out. We got...
Shazam?
We got Shazam coming up early, and then we got a Joker movie.
Which is going to be crazy.
That's crazy.
I'm like... Okay, we'll see what happens with those.
All right, for Johnny LaQuasto, who's not here, at Jay Quasto, for Roxy Stryer, at Roxy Stryer.
I'm at Mike Kanowski. If you're a fan of the Schmodown, something big's happening today.
What are you doing? Are you, like, competing for the gold?
The gold.
It's all happening.
Competing for the strap. It's coming out today. Today is the day. If you guys have been following, you know what has this led up to. Check it out. And also, I know I haven't been here in a while, but guys, reach out to me. I'd love to keep talking about Aquaman on Twitter, at Mike Kalinowski.
Yes, can't wait to hear what you guys all think. Thanks for being a fan of the show and watching us for 4 years. I'm Adam Gertler, at Adam Gertler. Get yourself a Ninja Foodie, eat some of my wieners at Doghouse, watch FX Movie Download, and we'll see you next time on DC Movie News.
Happy holidays, everyone.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.